Hello, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving and happy Kislev as we enter and get close to the period of Hanukkah. I want to thank all of you for joining in today's special Shir, morning of Shiurim, but to remind you that even though the speakers are perhaps coming from their basements, I'm here in what is known as my underground study. You can see the boxes behind me as the Penners, Mirtz Hashem, moving to the five towns over the next few weeks. But really, we're coming to you from the Beis Medrash, where most of us are actually during the week, maybe not there on Thanksgiving. It's important to know that Baruch Hashem, the Beis Medrash in Washington Heights, is alive. We have some 400 young men who are studying on campus at this point. Very, very safely. I don't know of another yeshiva in the world that has the standards that we're using to try Be'ezras Hashem to keep the Talmidim safe. Everyone is learning 6 to 8 feet apart and having masks. And if they have a chavrusa that they need to be closer to, they have a plexiglass divider. There's a place for a shechter at the front with large plexiglass walls around it. It's really a Kiddush Hashem, the ability to both take our Torah and learning seriously, as well as to take, of course, our health needs seriously. U'shmartem ma'od l'nafshoseichem. There's an uptick in Upper Manhattan in general, so it may be that along with some of Upper Manhattan, we may have to close again. We're praying we won't have to, but the yeshiva itself has really been Kiddush Hashem. I want to just take a few minutes of my time and turn over the screen to one of our wonderful mashkichim, Rabbi Josh Blass, who's going to share just a thought or two about what it's like in the last month to be on the yeshiva campus.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving. Just where these comments germinated from is that I came last week into a Penner's office, and I told him that in all my years working in YU, which is now, I believe, my 17th year in this capacity, I never felt so much pride and such a sense of gratitude towards working in YU as I have the last few weeks. When I mentioned to him, and I believe I just heard some of Rabbi Penner's comments, some that he reflected as well, is what it's like to come into YU every day, where all the guys used to be in Beis Medrash, but now you have some guys over here in this classroom, or guys have to go over here, or this guy's in the closet, and this guy's upstairs in an attic. But wherever I go, I go. I'll go, and I'll go happily. I'm not complaining. I'm not grumbling about YU. I'm not grumbling about the institution. You tell me where to go, and I'm going to go. How beautiful it is to be around the guys in their incredible sincerity, in their love of Torah, in their gentle desire to grow, but in a way that may be different than other yeshivas often, because guys are just very sincere. There's no cynicism. There's no rough edges. There's just a beautiful spirit about them. And how much hakaras hatov, how much gratitude I have to come in and to see guys, as Rabbi Penner said before, I'm told to wear a mask. I'm going to wear a mask. I have to sit behind a screen. I'll sit behind a screen. I'm not sitting there taking my mask off when I think no one's looking. I'm not arguing, saying that I had COVID already. I'm told to act in a certain way. I'm told to follow rules. And I have the concept of being a tamid. I have a concept of having integrity. I have a concept of doing things the right way, of being a simple person in the best of ways. And to see that in our young men, in a way that we often don't see in adults, that beautiful, simple integrity, it is something which is so inspiring to be around. I just want to mention that, as Rabbi Penner just pointed out, so a number of the young men, as people everywhere, have COVID. I spoke to one of the guys this week, and he was almost crying and telling me what the experience has been like for him. He lives in the Five Towns, but he's quarantining here in his room in Morganstern Hall for 2 weeks. He's not leaving his room because, you know, he can't leave his room. But all day, guys are coming by to sit outside of his room, to leave him food, to learn with him, to talk with him. He said he never has felt so proud to be part of an institution, of just what people are like. And everything is done with integrity. Everything is done with yashrus. Everything is done with derech eretz. And I'm not saying that because I work for YU, although I do work for YU. I'm just saying that to be part of such a beautiful group of people that often, that also takes their cues from the Rosh Yeshiva and Frey Penner, like Ashereichem, like what a schus it is to be part of this institution. And of course, part of that is all of you, the 200 people or so that have joined in this morning, are part of the same community as well. So look forward to continuing to learn together in good health and in good times with Tmimus and Yashrus. And thank you again for your support of Yeshiva University. Thank you.
You are, I hope you all realize, you are Talmidim of YU. Many of you are alumni, of course, of YU and Stern, but you are, because we like to think of the fact that you're all our Talmidim, including the tens of thousands of people who listen to YU Torah on a regular basis, the hundreds of thousands of people who listen to YU Torah over the course of a year. So thank you for being part of what really is the largest yeshiva. I think Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert had probably more Talmidim. He had perhaps 600,000. Still always try to figure out exactly what the nace was that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go horse. I feel like I'm going horse just from giving Zoom shiurim, how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak to 600,000 Talmidim at a time. But we may be at this point the second largest yeshiva in the world in history, given the number of people that listen on a regular basis. So thank you for everybody who makes this possible. Let's talk about the way we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a regular basis. Let's talk about how we do that, and when we do that in our Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Winston, you want to spotlight me again?
Yeah, I you are spotlighted.
Oh, I am spotlighted for everybody else. Okay, wonderful. So we are familiar with the structure of the Amidah. We're familiar with the structure of the Amidah. We all have thought about at some point or learned that our daily Amidah, whether or not it is an Amidah on Shabbos, whether it is an Amidah during the week, consists of three sections. We start with praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, if you think about it, a little bit interesting. It's an interesting thing that we start with praise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs our praise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us to butter him up before we start. But okay, we perhaps need to remind ourselves. We need to remind ourselves before whom we're standing. I understand that the Shmona Esrei starts with praise. And then we ask for something. On Shabbos, we have one bracha. On Yom Tov, we have one bracha. We ask for something in the middle. During the week, we say 12 and now 13 brachos in the middle. And then we say thank you. Then we say thank you. Then we say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, modim anachnu lach. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for what? Do you ever wonder exactly why we said thank you at the end of Shmona Esrei? What exactly are we saying thank you for at the end of our Shmona Esrei? Oh, we have a lot to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Why does it come at the end of our Shmona Esrei? Well, we spend a lot of Shacharis to that point saying thank you already. We wake up, those of you who heard my tefillah thought for the morning, and you can contact our office. You could send a thing on the chat if you'd like somehow to be joined in the morning tefillah thoughts. I spoke this morning about the brachos we say when we get up every morning. We start by thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu again and again and again. But why do we thank him at the end of Shmona Esrei? What are we saying thank you for? Are we so sure that he's going to say yes? Does that make sense? I mean, think about it. We've been asking for Mashiach for thousands of years now, and he keeps saying not yet. It sounds a little funny as soon as we ask for Mashiach again to say thank you. I'm so sure that you're going to bring him today. What kind of thank you is that? Yeah, maybe we're thanking him. Listen, we have other things. Maybe we're thanking him for everything else in our life. Thank you for everything, everything you do from the morning till the night. But the question is, why is it then at the end of Shmona Esrei? Last night, during dinner, I always get at least a phone call during dinner. Hello, Mr. Penner, Rabbi Penner. Thank you so much for your past support. Do you think you could donate again this year? If someone calls you and wants something, they first say thank you, and then they ask you for something more. Wouldn't it make sense to thank Hashem at the beginning of the Shmona Esrei? I mean, isn't it a chutzpah to ask for more before acknowledging what we have? We should start and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you've given me so much, but keep it around. I know you've given me so much, but I need to ask you for a little bit more. Why are we saying thank you at the end of the brachos, at the end of the bakashot? Make a lot of sense. Some suggest that we're thanking Hashem for his time. That's not what we're thinking. But some suggest that that's what we're doing at the end of Shmoneh Esrei. I appreciate the time you've given me. I appreciate your consideration. Thank you so much for hearing me. Maybe that would be a very nice thought. Of course, that's not really what we're thinking about when we say our daily Shmoneh Esrei. Unfortunately, we don't think about very much. Hopefully, we're paying attention at all by the time we get to Modim. But if we were paying attention, what exactly would it be that we're asking for? I want to ask one more question. Is it true that the last three brachos are about thanks? I know we've been told that. But really, are the last three brachos about thanks? The Gemara tells us that we're not supposed to ask for anything. We're not supposed to ask for our needs in those last three brachos. All we're supposed to do is say thank you. Is that what we do? Let's leave out Sim Shalom. Let's leave out perhaps the bracha that we ask for the most important thing in our whole lives, which is peace. That's a request. That's not a thank you. In fact, it's such an important request that it's not so clear why we didn't ask for it when we had the microphone to make requests in the middle. We forgot to ask for peace. But let's leave off that bracha for this morning. Let's focus at least on Ritzei. Ritzei. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our tefillos should be accepted, that we should once again be back in the Beis HaMikdash, that we should once again see that His Shechina comes back to Zion. Is that saying thank you? We've been duped, ladies and gentlemen. The rabbis have always told us they were hoping we wouldn't actually look at the prayers themselves, certainly not in English. We've been duped. We've been told that we're supposed to say thank you. Modim is thank you. Toda. But Ritzei is not Toda. What is Ritzei? And how can that bracha help us to understand the true meaning of Modim and what we're thanking Hashem for at the end of Shmoneh Esrei? Rabbi Soloveitchik asked one more question. If you assume that Ritzei means it should be pleasing to you, our tefillos should be pleasing to you, we hope that you give them an ear. Besides the fact that we're not supposed to be asking for anything more at that point in the Shmoneh Esrei, didn't, at least during the week, we just ask for the same thing in the previous bracha? Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chus V'Rachem Aleinu, V'Kabel Berachamim Uv Ratzon. We even use that word Ratzon. We just ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our tefillos. Why would we go back again and ask in Ritzei? Rabbi Soloveitchik explains as follows. In the bracha of Shema Koleinu, we look back at all of the requests that we made till that point and we say, God, please accept our prayers. Please accept them. Please say yes. In Ritzei, we say something else. Because Ritzei is a word, not just the word ratzon, but Ritzei. Ritzei is a word that we used when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept something in the context of korbanot, sacrifices. The bracha of Ritzei extends our request and connects it to the korbanos. What is the combination? What is this connection between accept my prayers and bring the Shechina? Bring the Shechina back. What is the connection between the two things? What is the connection between Sechazeno Einenu, we should see you in Yerushalayim, bring my tefillas And let me say, I hope to see you in Yerushalayim. Said Rabbi Soloveitchik, Shema Kolenu, listen closely, is a request that Hashem should accept our tefillos. Ritzei is a request that he should accept our tefillos as a sacrifice. That what we just did, that by asking for everything in our life, we should get credit, he should accept it, he should look at it as if we just gave him a sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash. And just like we say about the sacrifices, and just as the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash prayed Ritzei, they prayed to God after bringing the sacrifice that it should be pleasing in God's eyes, so too we say, accept the brachas that I've said till now as a sacrifice. Does that make any sense? Maybe. I mean, you've heard the concept, the Gemara in Brachos has several possibilities for where we got the different tefillos from. And one of them is that today our prayers replace the sacrifices. Unishalma farim sifatenu. That our lips should replace the bulls. Our lips should replace the sacrifices. So what we're saying is, I'd like to get a 2-for-1. Yeah, I'd like to get a 2-for-1, God. I'd like to get prayer credit. Sounds like someone negotiating with me for their smicha. I'd like to use this to fulfill my requirement of praying. And I'd also like to use the brachos that I just said to fulfill the requirement, to fulfill the opportunity to give a sacrifice. But does it really make sense that prayer and sacrifices should be interchangeable? Does it really make sense that we should today be able to pray instead of bringing a sacrifice? What is the idea behind the sacrifice? And how could prayer fill that need? What's a korban about? Most famous, of course, is the opinion of Ramban, who says that a sacrifice is a vicarious death experience. I did something wrong. If I really think about it, I did it wrong standing right in front of the king. I was standing literally before the king and I did an aveira. I went against his will and I deserve death. God is merciful. He says, you don't need to actually give up your life. I want you to lean on a sacrifice and I want you to view it as if that's you. And I want you to therefore do tshuva. Very nice. But not every sacrifice is a sin offering. What would Ramban say himself about sacrifices that are, let's say, an olah, a sacrifice that goes up to God in its entirety? I may bring such a thing out of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I may bring it because it's the daily offering that's offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just about sin. Why is it that I would bring a sacrifice and simply give it to Hashem? The Maharal, in the Siv HaAvoda, the Maharal makes a fascinating suggestion. The reason why I give a sacrifice to God is not because I'm giving him the animal. He doesn't need the animal. Of course he doesn't need the animal. But I am giving it to him. Why? Because I'm giving it back to him. I'm not giving him something that is mine. I'm giving him something that is his, and he gave it to me. He lent it to me, and I'm giving it back to him. Think about it. What did it mean to bring a korban in the old days? I'm a farmer up in the Galil, and I tell my family, you know, honey, kids, I want to bring a sacrifice to God. I want to give something to God. So I'm going to take off the next couple of weeks. I'm going to head down to Jerusalem and I'm going to give something to God. First of all, I gave up 2 weeks of work theoretically going one way and 2 weeks of work theoretically walking back. So I gave up a month and I also gave up an animal to God. Do you ever think about how different that is from tefillah? In tefillah, I don't give up 2 weeks. I give up 2 minutes. But then what do I do? I ask for things from Hashem. This is a great, who came up with this chak? The guy with the Shabbos lamp? The guy, which inventor thought of this idea? Now, Jews don't need to give things to Hashem. They could ask for things for Hashem and get the same credit. What? Who thought of this great idea? I'd much rather ask for things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu than give things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How in the world, implies the Maharal, could tefillah replace korban? The idea is exactly the opposite. Korban is when I sacrifice, when I give something to God. Tefillah is when I use my words to get something from God. Explains the Maharal that the purpose of tefillah is not to receive things from the Ribono Shel Olam, but to remind myself that if I would receive it, and if I do receive it, it's from HaKadosh Baruch. The purpose of tefillah is not necessarily to get everything that I'm asking for, but to remind myself three times a day that the only place I can get it from is from HaKadosh Baruch. The process of asking for every single thing in my life reminds me that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought for a moment that it was mine. I thought I could do it. I thought if I studied enough, I would know the material. I thought if I worked hard enough that I'd be able to make a living. I thought if I just worked hard enough on a vaccine, then that would be the answer. When I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I say, please give me, I humble myself. I remind myself that it's not mine and I can't provide it myself. And thus, says the Maharal, it doesn't matter whether I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it or I give it back to him. The idea of sacrifice is that I recognize that I can't say no. When he asks me for something, I can't say no. I must give it back to him because it's his. And thus, it doesn't matter whether I am requesting something or I am giving the thing back to him. The message of tefillah and korban is that I understand from where it comes. I understand that it's from him. It's a humbling experience. Says the Mabit, Rav Moshe ben Yosef of Trani from Greece in the 1500s, says the Mabit in his Sefer, Beit Elokim, the Mabit says that if the purpose of requesting things was really to get it from Hashem, if the purpose of it was really for the purpose of I ask, you give me right now, then it would be a chutzpah what we do every day. And you know what we do every day? We ask for the same thing again and again and again. You ever wonder how silly you think you sound when you daven Mincha Ma'ariv in Shul? Daven Mincha Ma'ariv in Shul. Mincha Ma'ariv today is, let's say, 4:15. So by 4, let's be kind, 4:17, you're somewhere around the bracha of Es Tzemach David. By 4:18, we'll give you, it was a real kavanah ben Esrei. By 4:18, you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please bring Mashiach. You finish, the chazan does his thing, the rabbi's not there, they clap, they say, Vehu Rachum, and by 4:35, you're asking for the same thing again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, seriously? At 4:20, you asked me to bring the Mashiach. It's been a couple thousand years now, but at 4:20, you asked me to bring the Mashiach. And I didn't get to it yet. I'm working on it. I told you it's going to come and you have to wait for him. At 4:35, you say, did you bring Mashiach yet? Are we there yet? What are you, the little kid in the back seat? Are we there yet? Did we have it yet? Give him a chance. He's working on it. Look what's happening in Eretz Israel. Look what's happening in the world. He's clearly working on bringing Mashiach, but it's going to take some time. Says the Mabit, it would be a chutzpah to constantly come to a king every few minutes three times a day and say, please, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? I'm not repeating it for him, says the Mabit. I'm repeating it for me, because it only takes a few minutes for me to forget that it's from him. It's not going to come in the next 10 minutes, but it takes me less than 10 minutes to forget and to think that I can do it myself. The reason why I ask for the same thing again and again and again in Shmoneh Esrei is not because Tati, not because the Ribono Shel Olam needs to be reminded, but because I need to be reminded that it all comes from him. As soon as I take my three steps back, I go back into a world where I think I can do it and I'm in charge. And that's why I need to say it again and again and again. At the end of the brachos, at the end of all the requests, I say, Shema Koleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could you please, please, please give me these things? And then I say, Ritzei. And when I get up to Ritzei, I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't take it back. I really would like these things. But I've also learned something. Accept these requests as a korban. I can't bring a korban today. I can't show graphically with my property that everything is yours. I can't take my property and give it back to you to show you that I get it, to show myself, to remind myself that it's not mine. But I have requested 13 things, a compilation of everything I need in my life. And I've reminded myself the message of Korban, which is that I need you for everything. I need you for the small things in my life. I need you for the things in history. Accept this act of humbling myself. And it is supposed to be a humbling experience. Accept this act of humbling myself before you by asking, by begging for every single thing. Accept that as a Korban. Because Korban and Tefillah have the same purpose, to remind me that I need you. Not to remind you of what I need, but to remind me that I need you. And then we get to Modim. You know, at Modim, we bow in a very different way from the controlled bowing that we do with the other parts in Shmoneh Esrei. When we start the Shmoneh Esrei, we bend at the knees, we go down, we do the whole thing. You have in the Koran Siddur, the little thing here, you got to go, that's, you go this part, you go that part. Modim, we just bow down at the waist. What's Pshat bowing down at the waist? The Maharal says bowing down at the waist is a sign that I'm nothing. It's the equivalent of falling on the floor. And that's the message. The message is, when I get to Modim, I recognize that I'm nothing. And that's what brings me to say thank you. How do you say thank you in Hebrew? So I'll tell you a secret. And this has nothing to do with Israelis, and it has nothing to do with Jews. There really is no word in the Hebrew language for thank you. Now, I know you'll tell me, come on, Rabbi. I know that we don't learn so much in our elementary schools, but you've heard of the word todah, todah rabah. But the word todah doesn't really mean thank you. The root of the word todah is not to thank, but to admit. To admit. When I confess my sins, I say vidoy. It's the same root. When I admit to you that part of your claim is right, I am what? Mode b'miktzat. The word mode, modim, does not mean really to thank. It means to admit. And that's the purpose of Shmoneh Esrei. And that's why I end it with admission, not thank you. What does the words of Modim mean? Modim anachnu lach sha'atahu Hashem Elokeinu. Right? You ever said this phrase before? Ever wonder what it meant? So typically it's translated as Modim anachnu lach, we give thanks to you, Sha'ata hu Hashem Elokeinu. What is sha? Sha is that, right? No? Sha'ata, that you are. It doesn't sound like we're saying thank you. Thank you that you're God. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, I admit that you're God. You see, when I say thank you to somebody, when I say thank you to somebody, I'm not really telling them that I appreciate what you did for me. Because the fact is, even the word appreciate, what does it mean I appreciate what you did? Why don't we say thank you more often? Let's face it. Why don't we say thank you more? Why aren't we more thoughtful and thankful? We're not thankful because we don't appreciate that somebody did something for me. I don't really feel a sense of debt and gratitude because I take it for granted. You did something for me? Well, I'm a big shot. You opened the door for me? Listen, I'm such a special guy that I did you a favor by letting you open the door for me. I helped you. You didn't help me. I need you to hold the door open for me. I don't need anybody. I could do everything myself. I am self-sufficient. The reason why we don't say thank you is not that we don't have the $4.99 or now $7.99 to buy a card. The reason why we don't say thank you is because we don't admit that someone helped me out. We don't admit that we needed somebody. We don't admit that we weren't self-sufficient. What is it called when I say thank you to so-and-so for setting up the Kiddush? We want to express hakarat hatov. Hakarat hatov doesn't mean thank you. It means I recognize the good that you did. It matters. It was something. You were able, I'm such a big shot, you were able to help me because I'm not as self-sufficient as I thought I was. At the end of Shmona Esrei, we come to Modim. Rav Hutner, in his writings on Hanukkah, in Ma'amar 3, Ma'amar Gimel, says this exact point. That Modim doesn't mean that I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of Shmona Esrei. I thank him on the way in. I thank him when I say Ga'al Yisrael, when I start the Shmona Esrei. I thank him for all the things that he's done for me throughout history. That's when I thank him, before I ask, what do I do at the end of Shmona Esrei? And what's the very purpose of Shmona Esrei? To admit. And it's so hard for us to admit. And it's so hard for us to remember. To admit that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the result of me having to ask for all of these brachos. That's the process of Shmona Esrei. I begin by recognizing before whom I stand. But that's not enough. It's not enough just to say, God, you're great. God, you do everything. God, you're wonderful. I have to make it personal. So I start to ask, could you give me intelligence? Could you forgive me? Could you give me health? Could you give me wealth? Could you move along Jewish history? Please move it along a little more quickly. The more I humble myself, the more I ask for, the closer I get to the end of Shmona Esrei. And then I get to Ritzei, and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept this, not just because I hope you say yes, but because no matter what you say, I've accomplished something. I have given a korban. I have sacrificed myself. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and he's quoted in Worship of the Heart, the very gesture of falling before God and acknowledging his unlimited sovereignty and man's utter importance constitutes an act of sacrifice. When I bow down before him, I not only have tefillah as a korban, I've basically offered myself as a korban. I am nothing. I don't even have the ability to stand if it's not for you. As we go through the bracha of Modim, we try to remind ourselves of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. We don't even know everything that he does for us. We say in our tefillos, La'osa niflos gedolos levado, ki li'olam chazdo. Ki osa niflos gedolos, you do great amazing things. He does them levado, by himself. What does that mean? He doesn't by himself. Well, means that no one else does miracles. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu does miracles. But Rav Wolfson explains in his Sefer on Tefillah that Levado means that only he even knows what he does for us. We haven't the slightest idea. We don't know anything. We don't know the beginning. We don't know the things that almost happened to us. We only see what does come to the end. We don't see all the things that he saved us. We don't see all of the things that are in process, that we don't understand how they're leading towards a geula, how they're leading towards a personal geula, how they're leading to a national geula. We just don't understand. We admit that he does so much more for us than we can possibly believe. We admit that we can't do it ourselves. We admit that we miss so much, that we don't even see what he's doing for us. And we admit that even things that sometimes look terrible may really simply be acts of chesed. What does it mean, asks the Sfasemes, that Chanukah is a holiday of hoda'ah, is a holiday of thanks? It's not simply, says the Sfasemes, that at the end of the Chanukah story, when we got to the Chanukah miracle, that we thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he did. It's not simply that we admitted that we couldn't have done it ourselves. But when we got to the end of the story, when the menorah lit for 8 days, when Judaism was revived, we look back at some of the things that at the time seemed so unimaginable and so terrible, and we admitted that that was part of the process too. Hoda'ah Chanukah, Chanukah which occurs at the darkest, most difficult time of the year. Chanukah, which the Maharal writes, is specifically coming at the darkest time of the year before the days start getting longer. Chanukah, which is a holiday where we go into the darkness and we light a candle to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. We don't simply say thank you for the fire. We're modeh. We have hoda'ah. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for the darkness. Because there's so much we don't understand. And there's so much that even after we get to the goal, we don't understand. But we're modeh. Modim anachnu lach. We're modeh. We admit. It's not that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't need us to thank him. He needs us to recognize our place. He needs us to admit that we don't understand why things happen, that we don't see, that we don't. We think we're in totally in control. We're so not in control. But it's okay, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. As I say modim, I try to do something. Some of you have heard me share this, but it's good chizuk for me to remember. We say in modim, we go through all of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. We admit that we need him all day long for your miracles, which are with us every single day, and for your wonders and favors at all times, evening, morning, and midday. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you. I admit that I need you all day long. I thought before I said the Shmona Esrei that I was in charge, that it was all coming to me, that I would be okay, that I could take care of it myself. But now that I've once again repeated the brachas of the Shmona Esrei, I again admit that I need you. Becholes, at every moment, erev vavoker v'tzaharayim, every evening, every morning, every moment. And then I try the following, and I try to do this whenever I can remember to do it in Shmon Esrei. I stop for a minute. I know there's no time to stop in Shmon Esrei. I'm in such a rush to get finished with it. I don't know why we're in such a rush to get finished with the Shmon Esrei. It's probably our most peaceful moment of the day. It's the time that we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's attention, and no one else can really bother us. We don't stop enough to look at the sights in Shmon Esrei. I try to stop after I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're keeping me going. day, night, more everything. And I do something that takes about 15 seconds and it completely makes and changes my day. I stop in the Shmona Esrei and I listen to my heart beating. And then I take a deep breath. And I remember that I'm breathing. And then I recognize that I'm wearing clothing. Very nice clothing. And I have a family. And I have a home. And I have a car. And I couldn't possibly have deserved all of this chesed from you. I admit that everything is from you. I literally feel my face, the tension in my face, in my body. I'm struck by something. When you're struck by a reality that you didn't think of, you sort of like, you feel, it's not a question of horror, but it's everything stops for a minute. And I realize at that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was keeping me alive. I haven't thought since the last Shmona Esrei about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing my heart to beat. I haven't thought since the last Shmona Esrei that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving my blood around my body. I've taken that all for granted. How could I have done that? I think about all of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me in life. It takes between 5 and 10 seconds to be just so overwhelmed by all of those things that I just put my head down a little bit further. And I say, Atov ki lo chal rachamecha, God, you're great, for your loving kindnesses will never cease. And I try to think in my mind, please don't let them ever cease. I know I've asked you for so many things. I know that I seem to have such a long list of requests. But now that I've gotten to the end of Shmona Esrei, I admit not just that everything is from you, but I admit that you've already given me so much. Why don't you just keep that going? Why don't you just have what I have today that I should still have it tomorrow? That the world that I have today, I should still have tomorrow. Why don't we just keep the status quo going despite all of its challenges, but we're still so blessed. Hatov ki lo chalu rachamecha, v'amrachim ki lo samu chasadecha, me'olam kivinu lach. Modim, as everything in Shmona Esrei, can literally change our lives. If we take Modim seriously, if we take a moment when we bow down in Modim and we bow at the waist, if we feel a sense of humility at that moment, if we're overcome sometime in the tefillah of Modim with a sense of admission, a sense of humility, a sense that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a sense that we don't even begin to know the chasadim that he's doing for us, and we couldn't possibly have deserved it. It changes the way we look at life. Shmona Esrei is not a prayer. Shmona Esrei is a process. It's a process. And we need to be different at the end of Shmona Esrei than when we started. The Baal Shem Tov famously said that if I'm the same person when I take 3 steps back as I was when I took 3 steps forward, I probably haven't prayed. May we truly understand and take part in this message of thanks, whether it's thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or thanks to somebody else. It's not about what we say. It's about what we feel. The last thing I'll tell you is that it's interesting to note that even in the English language, the word thanks probably doesn't just mean to say thank you. David Graeber, in his book Debt, which talks about debt since the beginning of the time, talks about this word thank you. Did you know that the word thank you is from the Latin tangere? Tangere in Latin, which I'm pronouncing terribly wrong, means not to thank, but to think. When I say thank you, what I'm really saying is I'm thinking, I'm understanding what it is that you're doing. I'm not simply expressing it. Thanksgiving is about thinking about those who have given to you. It's not about thanking them. It's about thinking. It's about recognizing. It's admitting that so many people around us, and of course, so much more, the Ribono Shel Olam has given so much to us. And once we think that, once we're makir the tov, once we admit the tov, then of course we're going to be driven to express it. Have a happy Thanksgiving and a good Shabbos to all. Thank you so much for being part of this program. Thank you to Rabbi Dov Winston, who makes this possible for us. And most of all, thanks to the yeshiva. This is not simply a glimpse into four different basements from your speakers, but really a glimpse into the wonderful things that are happening at Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ochanan. Have a wonderful day.